Gentlemen, welcome to CatCast episode number 519. I'm your host, Cheapy D, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we're joined by a man who never tires of the single player experience, Wombat.
Oh, I get it.
I was talking about masturbation.
Oh, that's not what I thought you meant. I thought you meant eating lunch by yourself. No. Because I'm totally into that.
Sure, whatever works. Just don't do both of those things at the same time. That would be wrong. No promises.
Depends on what's for lunch.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Shipwreck is also here, of course.
Hello.
And yeah.
That's all I got.
That's it. Yeah.
A lot of big topics to talk about this week. Some things happened right after we recorded the show last week, and some things happened this week. So a lot of stuff to talk about.
Excellent.
Perfect. That's what we're here for.
Which is good, because otherwise it would just be a lot of silence. And
maybe just...
Right. And masturbation jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Like every... So in other words, the other 518 episodes.
Right. Business as usual, we call it. Speaking of business as usual, shortly after we recorded the show last week, I went to Micro Center to buy Shipwreck's TV that he talked about last week.
Nice. Shortly after the show last week, I figured out how to set up my TV from last week.
Yeah, I remember having the same issues when I set up my other Samsung TV. Like stupid things, like they don't turn on HDR.
Why is the default setting to have the Ultra HD HDR stuff off?
That seems backwards. Everything about, you know, I actually told myself I would not buy another Samsung TV after this one because of like stupid things like that. And like, why would they bury the like game mode like four or five menus deep when it's like something that you'd want to be able to turn on and off really quickly? It's like little
you can turn that on and off, but it's weird how you do it.
It's a little different than my TV where they hide that one.
Okay.
It was such a hassle that I set up a macro with the Logitech Harmony remote. So that when I push the button, it automatically moves the remote to get to that where it needs to be. And, you know, it takes like a good 10 seconds for it to go through and find it and everything. Anyway, so I mean, for $300, though, I said, can I afford not to buy this TV? And the answer was no, I could not. And of course, I don't think I've ever been to a Micro Center before. That's
an experience.
It's just like a big pile of stuff. It's just like you walk in, I was like, oh, wow, they have a lot of computer parts and then also stacks of televisions. And
there's some bins of stuff.
And bins. And then
maybe you need a Raspberry Pi.
And then there's like a whole room of just random stuff that I guess they couldn't figure out where to put it. And it's just like a room of like some TVs, some desks, some like mounting things. Just, I don't know. They just didn't know where else to put it. And of course, the TVs were not marked as being on sale or anything like that. So I had...
Oh, they were at mine.
Yeah, ours was pretty unorganized there. I couldn't even find it because it wasn't in the TV section. So after I walked through the whole TV section a couple of times, I finally asked somebody for help. And he's like, oh, of course, it's like over here. And he walks me over just to like a hallway, like, you know, just sitting in the hallway.
Their employees are pretty good.
Yeah, he was good, and he looked up the price for me. I think they get commissioned on whatever they sell.
They do.
Yeah, because he put a sticker.
They put little stickers.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. He's like, do you mind if I put a sticker on this? And I was like, hey, you looked up the price for me, so you earn that $3 or whatever it is.
Whatever makes you happy, dude.
But I for three.
Was it a scratch and sniff sticker?
No, it wasn't. But for $300, I don't...
Go to Dave. Dave's got bananas.
For $300 for a 40-inch HDR.
Don't use Jimmy. Jimmy has skunks.
TV. I feel like it was pretty good, even though it's HDR Pro, which is like the poorest HDR apparently, but who gives a shit?
Who knows? I don't even know if I have HDR Pro turned on mine.
You're not even using the TV.
Oh, I know.
The TV's going to go on, what, 3 times a year?
I'm pretty sure I spent more time setting up all the different apps and getting the picture set up properly than I will watching the thing.
Yeah. Again, I don't know why you bothered.
$300. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know why you bothered getting the TV. I don't know why you bothered to care about the TV.
Right. I figured, like, right now we only have one TV in the house and... I don't know. I might put an Xbox.
And now you have two TVs about 10 feet away from each other.
But I might put an Xbox in there, and then Ty and I can play games together that require two Xboxes. I don't know.
I'm teasing. I know you. I mean, you could also put that TV like in his room, but that would be the last time you see him again.
That ain't happening.
It's a big TV for his room, I think.
Yeah, it's not happening. No TV in there.
Sabrina has a television in her room. It's never been turned on. She has no interest in it.
That's good.
I know. It's interesting. I think putting it in there, because we just had the TV. We just needed to put it somewhere. I think just having it in a room is the deterrent for her. Like, she never felt the need to turn it on, so it just never goes on.
I don't know. I watched the fuck out of the TV in my room when I was growing up.
Me too. I mean, she doesn't have... she has the Xbox 360 in there as her media center, but...
Yeah.
No interest.
This TV, it's sort of like a big tablet in a way, because it's very light. You could move it around very easily. It's got all the apps.
Oh, that TV.
No, it's got all the apps. Yeah, the Samsung. It's got all the apps on there. It's just all you need is to plug it in and you're good to go.
It's kind of crazy that it was only $300.
Yeah, it is crazy. I think I spent $350 on my Samsung Galaxy View tablet. And that's not 40 inches. Although it seems.
Yeah, but that's a tablet.
I know, but all I do is I watch, you know, it's the same shit that I could watch on this TV. YouTube, Hulu, Netflix.
Should put the TV in your room then.
No, I don't need that. We don't. I sleep in there.
So I have a TV in my room. It's a big old TV, but it's a TV.
Should have got this one. Meanwhile, I'm having trouble sleeping because I've been having a lot of vivid dreams lately. And they're like very stupid dreams, but they wake me up. Like, for example, I had one the other night. And then, and I can't go back to sleep after them. That's the problem. So I had one the other night where I was at like a bar with my dad. And we were dressed up in like suits or something. And this attractive woman walks down and sits next to me and puts her hand like on my leg. And she starts singing a song to me.
What song?
I don't know the song, but it was like some, she clearly did not like Jews, and it was an anti-Jew song that she just came up with that was made clear.
I hate Jews.
Yeah, it was basically like that.
I hate Jews.
It was something, it was a little more subtle.
I hate Jews, and I hate Jews.
I think it was a little more subtle than that, but, and it took me a while to figure it out, but then I was like, oh, she's like a Nazi or something. And then I woke up. And then I couldn't go back to sleep because I kept thinking of like what clever thing I should say to her. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is a dream.
Just in case I meet this lady again.
Well, in case I fall back asleep. Well, in case I fall back asleep and I have the same dream again, which happens sometimes.
Right, you're going to be prepared.
No, that does not happen.
It does happen to me.
No, it doesn't.
I'm telling you. And then also, like, while I'm having these weird dreams, and they're not sexual in any way, but I get, like, a raging boner during these dreams, which makes it even harder to go back to sleep.
Harder is the operative word.
So it's very annoying. So I basically, like, I'll wake up at, like, 5 in the morning with, you know, from these dreams, and then I have a hard time going back to sleep. And then
Well,
you wake up at that time anyway, probably. But I woke up, and then the other night... My phone, like I forgot to put my phone on silent mode, and it started vibrating because I have my stupid smart sprinkler system, you know, just sends me a push notification when it goes off, and so it starts buzzing. Like,
see, this is where you and I differ. I have a TV in my room, but when I go into my room, my bedroom, I keep the phone charging in the kitchen.
Right, that would be good. So the thing starts buzzing, and then I'm trying to turn it off in the dark. And I hit my head against the dresser next to the night table next to my bed. And it's very sharp. And I have a cut on my forehead now from trying to turn off the fucking phone from my smart sprinkler and my Nazi girlfriend. Anyway, so I don't know. I don't know how to cut down on these vivid dreams, but it's they're
play more games. I've been having Shadow of War dreams for the last 3 nights to the point where I actually had to take a night off from playing the game. Because it was really starting to affect me.
Yeah, well, that maybe I am playing games too close to bedtime. I usually try to get in like a quick round of Destiny or something. But I'm not sure what the problem is. But it's not ideal. Anyway, anyone else want to talk about their boners? Or should we do show feedback?
I'm good.
All right. Show feedback.
Socks. Fan 13 has to say, hey guys, as always, love listening. Just wanted to touch on the Chinese language thing.
This was in reference. Oh yeah. Ooh, you got this, Wombat. Go. Yes.
I was saying, this was in regards to you discussing language class choices for your son. You wanted him to take Chinese and the school was only offering Latin.
Well, he goes on they have to Spanish say, and French and
yeah, well,
maybe.
My wife is a foreign language teacher, Spanish, and she said that it's been hard to find qualified Chinese language teachers. Also, it would be smart to take the course due to the likelihood of the global economy, as GP mentioned. However, many high school students, especially the high-achieving ones, are min-maxing high school to get the best GPA for college and college scholarships. Chinese is a very difficult language for English speakers to learn, as opposed to many other romantic languages also often offered. Which I guess is a different way to look at it. Do you feel your son would have an easier time learning a more traditional romantic language? You know, by traditional, I mean, you know, to an English speaker,
right,
than Chinese, which would be very, you know, difficult for an English speaker? Or does he already, I mean, does Ty have any pre-existing Chinese language knowledge at all?
Well, when you know, Japanese and Chinese share, you know, Japanese has three different alphabets, but the symbols, the kanji, are the same for Chinese and Japanese. So he would have a head start for sure over kids who didn't have any Japanese, but that would just be for reading kanji. It would be helpful, let's put it that way. He'd have a little heads up.
Okay. And he then goes on to say, finally, as for Latin, it is a base language, not just for other language, but for students going into law or medical school, where lots of terminology stems from Latin. So I don't know if you want Ty to be a lawyer like mom, maybe Latin is the way to go.
No. And well, Mrs. Chibi pointed out that there's a lot of people who can speak Japanese and Chinese, but there may not be that many people that can speak Japanese, English, and let's say Spanish. So that might be somewhat of an advantage.
I could definitely see that being a big advantage.
So I'm not upset anymore after I heard that.
I don't think you were ever upset.
No.
Yeah,
I'm not. All right, that's it for the show feedback, I guess.
Yes.
What do we got here for Watch This Bitches something?
Yeah, I took my kids to the movies on Sunday and we saw the Ninjago movie.
Oh, Lego Ninjago?
Lego Ninjago, I've heard.
Huh?
Now, is this better than Chima? I want to see it, yeah.
I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And the kids loved it. I mean, they really enjoyed it. It follows the similar formula to a Lego movie, which I think is a thing now, you know, about like there's a main character who has a fairly obvious character flaw that he needs to overcome, usually about something related to family or finding your place.
Hating Jews.
Yeah. So, you know, and then that, how he resolves that, you know, it's again, it's fairly formulaic from the Lego movie, the Lego Batman movie, and the Lego Ninjago movie. But that, you know, but it has some cute jokes and some, you know, little clever things in there, and I enjoyed it. So, and the kids, like I said, loved it. So who cares?
Cool.
And it's a tight 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
No, it was fairly quick. So I can't complain. We had a good time. So as I say, if you're looking for a movie to see with your kids, because there really isn't much out there right now, I do
recommend the My Little Pony movie as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Sabrina said she wanted to see that. I don't think I'm going to go see that. I'm like, and then I said, you don't even like My Little Pony. Why do you want to go see it? She goes, because it has mermaids and Sia. I'm like, I don't know if that's good enough criteria.
Variety gave it a very good review.
There you go. Shows what I know.
It's supposed to be good.
Yeah.
All right. I will be seeing both of those movies at some point. Probably like 30 times.
Sure you will. Lego Ninjago isn't bad. And a shout out to my friend who is one of the screenwriters.
Sweet.
I started listening to Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, the book that
the audiobook.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, Amazon had that deal that one day where you could get a free hard copy of a book.
Okay, yeah.
And if you signed up for an Audible trial. So
who reads it?
Dude Man.
Who's Dude Man?
Yep.
Just some
Dude Man does a great job reading it.
It's not the author, right?
No, it's not Jason Schreier. Am I supposed to know the people that are reading audiobooks?
I don't know.
Sometimes.
Something I need to know.
Sometimes. You don't need to
sometimes.
Know.
Sometimes.
He said his name like 2 hours ago.
Right.
That's the only time he said his name.
It's pretty cool. Isn't it interesting?
It is. I'm still on the Obsidian chapter, so the first chapter.
Okay. Ty is ahead of you.
Oh, I better catch up.
You better catch up. Since Ty's got his own Kindle, and I bought this book on Kindle, I was like, yeah, why don't you check this book out and see if you like it.
Ray Chase seems to be the narrator.
Cool. Yeah, it's a great book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. Definitely recommend
it. Ray Chase reads the words.
Yep. That's what the Amazon says.
And with
he does a fine job. He's not stumbling over them or anything.
He's a real pro.
Mm-hmm.
With the Star Wars news that came out this week, the game news, it's very, very interesting to read the chapter on Star Wars 1313. Although I'm sure it's the reasons for it being canceled are very different, but it's still pretty interesting. New releases? Are we ready?
Sure. Yeah. I really haven't played any of these new releases. Did you know that there's a Gran Turismo game out this week?
I only knew it because I saw it on this list that I put on the outline.
Gran Turismo Sport launched this week. Somebody should tell Sony.
Right. Why are they keeping it a secret?
The only reason why I knew about this was because the Forza Twitter account congratulated the Gran Turismo Twitter account on a successful release. And I was like, oh, look at that. I didn't know that was a thing.
It's coming in at a 78 on Metacritic, so that seems fine, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Weird, though. Like, this is something that you would expect to have a lot of push from Sony.
I feel something. Like, isn't this like the half-assed Gran Turismo? Like, 'cause it doesn't have a number after it. So, like, remember they did, like, Gran Turismo Prologue? Isn't that like this, like, where it doesn't have all the content of a normal Gran Turismo game, but they're still going to... Well, this one's $60.
$60 for it?
Right, they're charging $60 for this one, yeah? Yep.
Yep.
They sure are. Prologue, I don't think, was $60, but I could be wrong about that. It does have a PSVR mode in it. I think I'm good.
I feel like if they would have put some push behind it, if I may have just bought it on a whim, but without any push, I didn't get excited about it. So it's probably just, I'm never going to play this now. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what happened here. I guess the big game this week is South Park, the Fractured But Whole.
The Fractured But Whole.
I bought it. It's here. It came today. I have not put it in the PlayStation. But it's supposed to be good.
I saw that it has PlayStation Pro support.
I did my research. And by research, I meant I asked people on Twitter if anybody knew, because you couldn't find that information out anywhere. It was basically... Not, I Googled the hell out of it and couldn't find it, but somebody,
because I think you're probably the only person that's worried about if South Park has HDR.
I'm not worried. Well, look, I mean,
I don't see why it matters with a game like this, but yes, go ahead.
I mean, if it's going to look better at a higher resolution or something, you're right. It doesn't really matter. But if I'm going to buy it, I might as well get the one that's going to look a little better. I know. I realize it's not like Destiny or something like that, but if all things everything else is the same, I might as well get the one that takes advantage of the more powerful console. I know that I think it's going to have Xbox One X support when it comes out, but I ain't waiting for that. So I bought it for PlayStation. What's the big deal?
Nothing.
It's, right.
I hope you enjoy it.
I hope I do too. It's supposed to be good. It's supposed to be funny, and I don't know. I'm looking forward to playing it.
Also this week, I know, Wombat, you've been playing this Elex?
I want to say it's Elex. I think it's Elex. They actually say it in the opening cutscene, and you think I'd remember, and I don't.
Ray Chase.
Yes, Ray Chase, narrated by. That game is a game. That is something you could say about it.
What do you mean?
Can you say more about it? Because I don't think it has a lot. It's not Gran Turismo. We can't picture what you're thinking here.
I know. No, it's an open world RPG that takes place in like a post-apocalyptic future.
Oh, I'm looking at it. It looks like Fallout.
It's sort of a combination where there are like tribes of Skyrim-y people, and then there are tribes of Fallout-y people. So you kind of choose what kind of a character you want to be throughout the course of the game. It's a little muddy. That's the word I'm going to use to describe it. It's not always clear.
Got kind of a cool aesthetic to it.
It has a really cool aesthetic to it, but it's just not, it doesn't click. I know I'm being very vague and it doesn't really help. But there's just something, you know, sometimes you're playing a game and it just, you're like, you feel it. You know where to go, even if you don't know where to go. It's intuitive. There's the word. There's just something about this game that's just not very intuitive to me. Where I find myself like, I'm talking to someone and he gives me the options of what I should say, of what I should do. And then I respond. Then it's like, that quest is now no longer available. I'm like, well, what did I say? That was makes this no longer available.
Okay. This is from the development studio that did the Gothic games and the Risen games. So I think I have an idea of, yeah, what kind of game this is. They've got big ideas and probably not quite big enough budget to get it all the way there.
Oh yeah, it's not a great looking game. It looks like a PS2, an Xbox 360 game. But, it'll probably be a good budget title one day. The 59 it has on Metacritic is probably accurate.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, are there worse games out there? 100%. Is it a great game? It's a game I have.
That they sent to you.
That they sent to me without, I have no recollection of ever asking for. So
it looks like you might have seen a screenshot of this and sent an email.
Well, we know it's a friend. So it doesn't surprise me that it showed up in my inbox. But I looked it up as soon as it was sent. I'm like, this looks so cool. And I was really excited to play it. And then I started playing it. And I'm like, I'm not that excited anymore. And I felt bad, but not everything can be great.
That's a lie. All video games are great now.
I don't think so. I don't think they're not all great. I think it's hard to find a game that's like irredeemably terrible that comes out these days. But not every game can be great.
Also, out this week, the Redux version of Rogue Trooper came out for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. That's the one with the blue people.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something they would send you. Did they send you that?
They asked me if I could have requested a copy. I did not, simply because I didn't play it the first time around. And I'm still playing a lot of Destiny. And Evil Within 2. I know you liked the first one of those, didn't you, Wombat?
I didn't. I bought the first one. You didn't.
Okay.
I bought the first one when it was on sale. I want to say I bought it for $12.
And I remember you liking the E3 demo of it.
I really liked the demo.
Okay.
I was going to buy it when it came out, and I just didn't get around to it. And then I waited, and I got it when it was, like I said, $12. And it was a little directionless. So it wasn't good. It borrowed too much from other things, too much that were like it. It just didn't work. But I've been hearing really good things about The Evil Within 2, so maybe I'll wait for that one to be $12.
I don't think you'll have to wait too long.
Aww.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good.
Yep.
But I don't think it's selling very well.
No.
All right. What else this week?
It's a tough sell.
It is.
We have WWE 2K18 featuring Colonel Sanders. That's all I know about that game. I know Colonel Sanders is playable.
Yeah.
Is that enough for you?
No, I'm not interested in that. I'm ready for like a classic.
Right. That's what I was going to say. The only one of these that we've been interested in is that one that came out probably like 5 years ago now that had all of the classic guys in it.
Fire Pro Wrestling?
No. They made a WWE. I don't remember.
Does it have like a fishman looking guy that bites?
No. It was all like classic dudes from the 80s and 90s, I think.
I know. I was teasing.
I don't think I liked the art style of that game, though. It looked a little.
Well, no, but they had another one that featured prominently. It was one of these 2K games. It was just the normal version, but had a lot of the classic stuff in there.
DLC, probably.
No, I remember I played through it. It like featured a lot of Hulk Hogan.
I see. I was in Kmart the other day, and I saw they sell a lot of wrestling figures now, and they have a pack that has Roddy Piper.
Okay.
Shit, who is the other guy? Ultimate Warrior?
That's a wrestler.
That is a wrestler, yes.
No, I'm just not 100% sure that was him. It was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Two out of the three guys were dead. And then I was like, I wasn't sure if Ricky Steamboat was dead or not. So I looked up his Wikipedia page, and in fact, he is alive. He's on his fourth marriage, but he's alive. And it was like $35 or $40 or something for like three lousy figures. So I didn't get it. Anyway, what else we got?
Was that your whole story?
Pretty much.
I was waiting for this to go somewhere.
They should have called it like the dead superstar pack.
That's a lot of those figures.
That would be everybody. Yeah,
right. All those classic dudes.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out like just getting knocked around a bunch while being on steroids and doing a lot of cocaine.
Right.
Didn't really like
it's not good
up
for you.
Their lifespan very much.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. It was Randy Savage. I knew it wasn't the Ultimate Warrior. It's Randy Savage, Roddy Piper, and Ricky Steamboat.
Okay.
Amazon has it for $25 or $26.
Well, there you see.
That's much better.
Yeah. Glad you looked it up. Now you can buy it for no one.
I'm too busy acquiring Bespin Star Wars figures for the Cloud City themed guest room.
Did that other thing show up yet that you ordered?
No, but my Lando Calrissian from the original trilogy collection showed up, and it's very nice. He's a very nice cloak. That one like went up in value because I had to pay $20 for that. Most of the other ones are like, you know, $8 or so. But I needed a Lando. That was like the only really good Lando that you could get.
So what Lando is it? Is it the one from the mid-90s, that Lando?
It's called the original trilogy collection. I'm not sure when that came out. No, 2004.
Oh, okay. Because I say, I have a Lando from 1995 in my basement.
It's very good looking.
I have a comic signed by Lando.
Nice.
Not, what's his face, but actual Lando Calrissian. Not Billy D. Williams.
It was Billy D. Williams, but I asked him to sign it.
As Lando Calrissian. Yeah. Sign this as Lando, but my name is Billy D. Williams. I don't care. Sign it, Lando. Did you give him a Colt 45?
No, I actually didn't talk to him. It was Mrs. Shipwreck that went and got his signature while I was waiting in line for Stan Lee.
You would let your wife talk to Billy D. Williams? He is very smooth.
He is.
Well, who do we have here?
Enjoy that. Also out this week, Jackbox Party Pack 4. We're on number 4 of these by now.
Yes. I got a review code.
Excellent.
Did you? Awesome.
I haven't played it yet, though. I looked to see what the games were.
Mm-hmm.
But they require all but one require at least 3 players.
I know. That's the problem I've had. Yeah, trying to find people to play with because we stink.
It'd be cool. You could probably play it on Twitch and then just invite people to come play with you. You know.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
so I might do that. It looks cool. I don't know. I couldn't really say right now. I'll have played it by next week. Same with
South Park.
I
didn't even think that as a thing. That's so interesting.
Yeah, you don't even need to do it on Twitch. You could just literally go on Twitter and send the link out to people and say, hey, who wants to play with me? And they play on their phones, and then you play on your Xbox.
Well, no, because they still need to see stuff on the screen.
They still need to see
the
screen.
No. They don't.
They do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
How would they see like your drawings and stuff?
They would need to see stuff on the screen.
It doesn't show up on the phone.
No.
Well, the problem is Twitch is a little delayed on the
Twitch on my phone.
Yeah, it's like 10-second delay, I think. Still,
I only play these when I have a big group of people at my house. Anyways,
great for that.
Yeah, I'd say Drawful is still a big draw in my house. So
yeah, they're all good. Mm-hmm. It's all fun. We don't have anything else to do.
Sabrina loves them. They're good games, generally speaking. And these, most of these, I think all but one has family-friendly settings on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else we got in new releases?
Etrian Odyssey 5, Beyond the Myth, came out for the 3DS. They have made 5 of those Etrian Odyssey games. I liked the first 2, and now they've made 3 more of them.
I don't know what that is, but
Odyssey, it was one of the, it's a top-down RPG where you have to fill in the map.
Okay.
As you explore the dungeons. It's pretty fun. Very old-timey RPG type stuff. Not for you. In the least.
Oh, I believe
for
it.
You. Wombat, did you pick up Goth Story yet?
No, I did not pick up Goth Story yet.
Wombat, have you picked up your Switch yet?
You know, it's funny. As I saw all the posts about the update, which I guess we'll get to, and I picked up my Switch to see if I needed to update it, and the battery was dead. So now it's charging.
I forgot that you even have a Switch.
I have a Switch because I only own one game for it, and it's a bad game. So,
Zelda?
Yeah.
Maybe you need my 20-pound strategy guide.
I saw that. It does look cool. But, yeah, I don't think that would do it.
That is a substantial book that I ordered. That was part of that Audible deal. That's the book I ordered. Was this deluxe Zelda Breath of the Wild strategy guide. And it is enormous. Quite hefty.
When's Mario coming out? Oh, next week.
Soon. Yep. Yeah. Soon.
Are you getting that, Wombat?
Yeah, I have it pre-ordered.
Oh, okay.
Are you getting your coin?
Yes, I am getting my coin. Yeah.
Bastard. I got the email from Best Buy today saying that they have updated my order with the coin.
Oh, I didn't get that.
I'm doing in-store pickup with the coin.
Oh, wait a minute. Mario coin. Now I need to know. Oh, I did get it. We have updated your pre-order. Nice.
Yeah,
I got the same email when they updated my Lord of the Rings with my Lord of the Rings ring.
I know that I'm going to walk in because I'm picking it up in Manhattan and they're going to give me the game and they're not going to give me the coin. And I'm going to have to say, but where's my coin?
Right.
And they're
going to say, feel like a big loser.
Yeah. And they'll be like, we don't know what you're talking about. And I'm not going to get a coin. I'm okay with that because, again, I've already gone through the scenario in my head. Like, I know how this is going to play out. Right. And I've been able to go through the 5 stages of grief over not getting the Mario coin. So right.
You can
I'm
have
there.
My coin, dude. You can have my coin.
Thanks. I've worked it out. I feel like my world will continue to be just fine without the Mario coin.
That's the beauty of having them deliver it to your house, is that you get the game and then 4 days later they will ship you the coin separately for some reason.
If you don't do shipping though, if you do in-store pickup, you get $1 off your game.
Yep.
And I was like, I'll take another $1 off. I was already getting $10 off because of a reward.
I guess that makes sense if you're not driving to Best Buy.
No, the Best Buy is literally an avenue away from my office.
Right. Like if it makes sense for your Best Buy. For every other Best Buy in the United States,
right,
probably doesn't make much sense to take that.
The real question is do I bring? I should bring my Switch into work that day so I could play it on the train ride home, right?
Right, of course.
That's the way to go with this. That's the way to roll with this release.
Yeah. I thought about getting the $1 off on the South Park game. I was like, well, I got to drive like 25 minutes each way.
You know? I also did that Resident Evil 7 Game of the Year edition price thing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. So see what happens on that one. They also, because it was a pre-order, $1 off on for if I wanted in-store pickup. So I'm like, yeah, why not? Another $1.
Sweet. Anything else for new releases?
Nope.
That's enough. There's plenty of other stuff. Plenty
we're
of
talking
games
about,
for everybody.
We're talking about new
Look
releases
these,
for next week.
There was probably like 40 single-player games that came out this week.
Sweet. Well, let's move right into multi-platforming and Wombat's Overwatch Onslaught and news and stuff.
That's a big story, isn't it?
Yeah, well, EA shut down Visceral, the studio that was working on the single-player Star Wars game.
Most well-known for Dante's Inferno.
Okay.
Remember that game?
No, they were most known
for
Dead Space.
They also did Dead Space, I know, it was a joke. Right.
I get it. Oh, I put a link on here that doesn't even work. What the hell's wrong with me?
Yes, but there's no more Visceral.
There's no more Visceral.
No Dante's Inferno 2.
Right. And the Star Wars game that they're working on, I guess, is being totally revamped by somebody else?
Yes.
Hmm. Wow. It's between this one and like Star Wars 1313, there's some bad luck in these single-player Star Wars games. Can't seem to push them out.
Well, Star Wars Battlefront 2 has a single-player campaign.
That's right. But it also has loot boxes.
And you know, a pretty hefty multiplayer experience.
Yeah, and battle droids.
Mm-hmm. Roger,
I don't
Roger.
Know that this one was going to have battle droids.
Roger, Roger.
Roger, Roger.
Roger, I Roger. Mean, we got loot boxes.
Yeah, it's funny because they say like, "Oh, I'm surprised that they shut." I mean, it seems again. I don't know the ins and outs. So they shut down a whole studio because they are not canceling the game, but changing the direction of the game. Was there a reason why the people at Visceral weren't able to make the game in this new direction?
Well, they said that they were going to try to take some of those people and distribute them as they could. I think it was just the high ups at Visceral. They probably did not agree with EA, and EA probably did not care. Is my guess. They just took the game and said, okay, it's over here at the studio now.
We don't want to make your game. We want to make our game. So we're not going to do it. And they said, fine, you're fired, basically.
Yeah, because it was, is it Amy Hennig? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she was the one doing the game, right?
Mm-hmm. She was writing. Uncharted fame. She was the writer, I believe.
Okay.
I don't, but then again, I don't know what kind of executive position she had at Visceral.
I would assume she had a nice title at Visceral, but I forgot this game was in development, honestly.
Me too. Yeah, I didn't have any idea.
We hadn't seen much of anything, right? We hadn't heard much of anything. I tend to think that this probably wasn't going well, is my guess.
That was pretty much the rumor that the game is supposed to be a mess, I guess. I'm sure, like, if the game was going fine, like, the development was going fine and smooth, it was not a question of, like, hey, we're just not going to make a single-player game without loot boxes or whatever. I'm sure it was a combination of those two things. Like, that the game wasn't, the development wasn't going well. And, hey, also, it doesn't, it's not Destiny.
Right. Also, a combination of Mass Effect is $9.
Mass Effect is free if you have EA access. I mean,
well, sure, right.
You know, but, and Amy Hennig is the creative director at Visceral Games, or was. So,
right after I bought Mass Effect Andromeda, it went to the vault.
Yeah, which is pretty funny. But didn't you get the deluxe edition?
I sure did, and I got it on PS4, where it is enhanced for the pro.
So yeah. See, you're still a bit ahead.
It's still in the wrapper.
You can always return it.
Right.
So I don't think this says much of anything about single-player games that hasn't already been happening for the last decade, almost.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and when you're talking about something that has a license like Star Wars that EA probably paid through the nose for, it adds a whole other layer to it as well. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to not have that be profitable. Even EA, and if they get scared, which clearly they did, and yes, I think Mass Effect probably was a big part of that, then they're just gonna make those changes. That's right. What it is.
A lot of people wrote in with questions about basically what does this mean for single player games in the future and all kinds of stuff. So let's go.
But the revamp is still gonna be a single player game. It's just a different type of single player game.
We don't really know what it's
we don't know be. Anything really about it.
Right. Yeah. We know it's not coming out for a long time, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm sure they would love to come up with a game like Destiny where it's a game, you know, games as service where they can sell you all kinds.
Yeah, it's called Anthem. It comes out next year.
Yeah. Well, that's something else. I'm sure that, you know, that's where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes sense for a lot of reasons. And the biggest reason is that people spend money on those games. After they buy the game, they continue to support the game financially by buying whatever their incarnation of loot boxes is. So you can't really blame the studios or the publishers. I mean, it's our fault. But anyway, let's read some of these questions here.
Sure.
At Burgundy's Mask writes in and says, what do you think would be a fair price to sell a new game for to eliminate the need for microtransactions?
It's $99. It's $100.
It's a trick question, Wombat.
Well, yes, because there's going to be money to be made even at $100. If they can get away with selling a game at $100 and still having microtransactions to make more money, they're going to do it.
Of course, they're yes. public.
But the
companies.
Reason why the microtransactions exist in this current ecosystem is because a $60 game just isn't enough to cover the cost of making it.
No,
I think they would have happened anyways.
Yeah.
It's both. It's this game. We're not making enough money, and now they.
But there is no enough money. There's no. That's like a weird thing.
Well, we're not
think about a business that says.
I'm sorry. The profit margin isn't as high as we'd like it to be, based on our budgets and internal costs against the retail price for this product. We need to find a way to increase this profit margin, and loot boxes and these microtransactions was the golden goose. Now, do I agree with you that if they were able to get away with selling the game at $100 and still having those microtransactions, would they do it? 100%. But they wouldn't have to do it. And that's the question.
They do have to do it because it's a company and their job is
to trade
it. Yeah, they have to. They're not going to leave money on the table.
Well, that's not what I mean. I mean, they're not going to. If at, in they the will current take
all the money, they're going to take all.
They're
the going
to take all the
no
money, but in the
what.
Current marketplace, without any microtransactions and selling every game at $60 and not having any other additions and no other downloadable content, a major publisher would go out of business.
But it doesn't. Well, maybe not. It doesn't really matter though. The point is that we support microtransactions. We spend a lot of money.
Well, I don't.
Well, we as gamers, I mean, I don't either, but people do it. And it's just, it's a huge part of the revenue for these games. I mean, look at the sports games like FIFA and Madden with the Ultimate Team modes. I mean, they're making billions of dollars just off of the microtransactions.
Really? It's not totally nefarious either, where they just want more and more money. It does add stability to their business as well. Because then you can keep your developers in house.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about if, like, what the next game is you're making. If you can keep people on and making content for this while your creatives go off and create the next big thing, and then you kind of offboard the people who are doing the continuous support and bring them up to speed when they're needed on the new game.
There's good things about it for sure. There's good things about
it
for sure.
Right, it just makes sense that you're not.
I think part of the issue with the loot box scenario, and I think we touched on it last week, and I heard some feedback about it, is I think a lot of it has to do with the randomness of it, and that it's a game of chance. And
that's what gets us hooked. It just feeds into our mental weakness.
Yep. And maybe there needs to be that balance there where maybe not every transaction should be a game of chance.
There's plenty of games where it's not. There are so many games that come out that you can still find exactly what you're looking for somewhere.
You're just upset.
You're just upset if every game's not exactly what you're looking for. You look at the new releases every week. There's like 50 games that come out every week.
I would say that Destiny, the microtransactions there don't seem to be particularly egregious. Those bright engrams don't really drop anything that I ever really want.
Do you want some ghosts and some shaders?
Yeah.
You want those shaders?
Yeah. See, and I don't
get pissed
even
off
want those.
Every time I turn in one of those bright Ingrams.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be something great. Oh, nope. It's another ghost.
Yeah. Just what I don't want. So it's interesting how, yeah. And the same thing even with, you know, I'm playing Shadow of War. I've probably put in well over 10 hours, let's say 12 or 13 hours into that game at this point. I played a lot of it over the weekend. I'm enjoying it immensely. I'm having a really fun time playing it. The only thing that bothers me about the gold loot boxes in the game is that you can only buy them with real money. You start collecting a lot of the in-game money, and you find that you can't really use it for anything after a while.
Right, you don't get... Yeah.
And it's like, well, what's the point of that? And I just haven't bought any. But I've never been like, man, I really need that loot box right now. It's not something you could play that game and never even go into the marketplace. So
apparently at the end, though, you might need it to get the best ending.
Yeah, well.
But maybe you don't need the best ending. Watch it on YouTube.
Maybe you don't even need the ending. Maybe you're going to play it for 30 hours and never see the ending. And you'll be
perfectly happy. I mean, that's also a very distinct possibility. So I do think that there is that balance there, you know, and again, it also does a lot depend on the game. Do I think there are games, though, where, I don't know, games where the microtransactions seem like a complete necessity? Is there, what's a console game where these microtransactions are required, really, to enjoy the game?
I mean, that doesn't really exist, I think.
That's what I'm saying. So is this really much ado about nothing?
So far? Well, we'll see. We have some other stories that we may feed into that. Some other questions here. At Darwin Loves Devo asks, with lackluster sales of single-player linear adventures, are we going to see many more AAA titles that aren't multiplayer or open world? I mean, look, it does make a lot of sense just from a business standpoint. Games, you know, video games are business, big business. And when you have these open world and multiplayer games, you can add in a lot more microtransactions, it seems.
And you can also improve those games.
It also lets the developers continue to make content for the games after it comes out for free often. You know, a Shadow of War is one of the big exceptions to that, where they're still selling a season pass.
So Sony, is Destiny.
Destiny, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know, are people really paying for Bright Engrams?
No,
season passes. It has a season pass.
But that's the only, I'm saying, but that's the only, that's their only form of microtransactions in the game right now, is buying those Bright Engrams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, really, people spending money on it? It's pretty expensive, too, I looked up. It's not like...
Oh, no. A gold box in Shadow of War is $2.50. It's ridiculously overpriced.
But to answer this guy's question, I mean, Sony seems to still be putting out...
The first parties will do it.
Yeah. And that might be what it has to be. But, I've never been a huge fan of the linear... I'm not a big fan of multiplayer, generally speaking. I'm more of an open world game guy anyway. So I guess this doesn't seem to be a thing, I guess. In my brain, I'm like, yeah, so every game's going to be like Skyrim now. This doesn't seem like such a bad world to live in. Oh no, more Red Dead Redemption. More Skyrim.
Right.
This is terrible.
There's definitely pluses and minuses. There's more positives about having these loot boxes and microtransactions in the game, because most companies don't blow it, right? I mean, even EA, like Battlefront 2, during the beta, people were complaining that the loot boxes could be pay to win, basically. And EA said, look, you know, we're taking your feedback, and certainly we're not, you know, locked into anything right now, and maybe they'll wind up changing it.
Did they?
Well, we won't know until the game comes out.
I mean,
out.
That's really what it comes down to. If it's pay to win, that could be an issue. If it's pay to get shaders.
Right. It's hard to... And then in turn, that gets the people working on the game for a long time.
It also really bothers me when there's no in-game way of unlocking those things. We're talking about Bright Engrams and Destiny. We've all had more than enough Bright Engrams just playing the game. But in Shadow of War, you can get a gold loot box by doing an online challenge, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, you don't find them often.
Okay.
So I think that's also part of the difference. I think if it's not something you need to pay for, even in Injustice 2, you can buy the shaders that cost about $2 to $3. Actually, I think the most expensive ones are $4 each. Or most of them can be unlocked through gameplay. It's difficult, really difficult, but most of them can be unlocked through gameplay.
But what bothers me with Injustice 2 is, just like Shadow of War, I mean, obviously two Warner Brothers games, they're selling you the microtransactions, and they're also charging you for extra characters and stuff, not just skins. I mean, these are like, characters.
The full-on characters.
Yeah, yeah, and like, come on, just pick one.
Is there going to be a season pass or the coins? Yeah, I think the coins is wholly unnecessary in this game, and it would definitely be a more enjoyable experience if unlocking skins and shaders was more of an in-game challenge type thing, and they made it a gameplay element as opposed to a monetary element. Yes, it would improve the fun factor of that game significantly, and they just had, that very expensive season pass. Because, I would say that if you love this game and it's a great game and you spent $100 on it, I think a lot of people who spent $100 on this game, and I've heard from a lot of people that have spent $100 on this game, they're happy with that purchase, even knowing that it's going to be cheaper at some point. And I think that's, you know, an important distinction. There are people that spend $100 on a game that are happy with their $100 purchase because they're getting, you know, what they feel is everything. It's when they pull back some little things that cheapens that $100 experience. You know, the fact that the $100 version of the game still doesn't come with Darkseid, I think is ridiculous.
Right.
You know, and that it doesn't come with every premium skin is kind of ridiculous.
All right. At Bing Bam Boom writes in and says, gamers have a problem with microtransactions in DLC, but tend to throw money at streamers that they like. Would it be better if games just had a tip option that gave no DLC or additional content?
No. If you love a game so much that you want to give it an extra $2, why not get something in return?
Well, also, it's not like they're going to say, oh, we're just going to do the tip thing and not try to get more money out of you. None of these companies are saying, oh, that's enough money. We don't need any more of your money. They're going to try to take all the money. So, sure, they can put in a tip thing, but also do the microtransactions too.
I could see a lot of studios going the Activision way and just making fewer games each year. Fewer, bigger games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why EA canceled the Star Wars game, is that they need to basically take stock of what they have and see what Activision did and be like...
And Ubisoft too.
And Ubisoft too would be like, maybe we only need to make three games a year and not nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was revealed that Activision filed a patent for a matchmaking system that encourages the gamers to buy microtransactions. Have you read about this?
Yeah. So if you're playing a game and you're the noob like myself, and the person you're playing with is really good and has really good gear, there it could help. Basically, it pushes you towards a way to buying the gear that this other player has.
It matches you with the player that has the. That's the whole point. Is that it tries to match you with other players that have items that you don't have that it thinks you would want, to encourage you to buy the said items. And none of the Activision games are currently using this. They just filed the patent. But
if that seems like a bad way to do matchmaking. If you were playing with me in Destiny and you saw that I had a cool exotic weapon, and at the end of the game it said, did you like Wombat's exotic minigun?
Right, but that's not what this is. That's not
what
this
is. Would you like to buy this minigun? Would you do it?
But that's not what this is. The whole point of this is that it's supposed to set you up with those players.
That's what I'm saying. It sets you up. That's exactly what I'm saying.
No, you're saying if I'm playing with you, but I would play with you, I'm not doing matchmaking.
I'm saying randomly.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Jeez, listen.
Well, you didn't say that, though.
Oh, my God.
I think it's a great patent.
Sure.
Why would not? That is what I'm saying. So let's say my name is Joe32. All right, you get match made with me.
I got it.
We got it. But would you do it?
What do you mean do it? What does that mean?
At the end of the round, you saw that I had a really good gun, and the pop-up comes up and says, so-and-so is using this awesome gun. Would you like to buy it now for $2? Is that something?
In this scenario, is cheapy cheapy or is cheapy somebody random?
I don't buy these things. I never
But if you were somebody random, would you do it, cheapy?
Sure. I'm crazy. Okay. Am I a crazy person? Am I easily manipulated in this situation?
But did you never bought a loot box in Overwatch, right?
No, never. Okay. Never ever.
I think it's smart on Activision's part to think about this.
Sure.
And put a patent out there for it in case, even if they never implement it, if somebody else does, gotta get in on that. Gotta use that patent.
It just seems like a shitty way to match players up if you're looking for a good experience. You know, that's not really going to help the gameplay experience,
It could. Either way.
I think it benefits the not as skilled player, but if you're a skilled player that's looking to enjoy your game with another skilled player, which is what, you know, current matchmaking systems do. Then I could see it ruining the experience of the game for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the last bit of news here, which sort of broke right after we recorded the show last week, was that IGN bought Humble Bundle, or Humble, whatever, Inc., Humble Inc., who owns Humble Bundle and Humble Monthly and the store. And people were very upset. You know, I looked at the announcement on Twitter, and boy, there was not like one person.
There was not one positive comment.
Right. We said, oh, I can't wait to see you guys working with IGN. Everybody was like, I'm canceling my subscription. IGN ruins everything. What were you thinking? You know, the Humble executive said that nothing's going to change, that they're going to still be running the company. And
that's what everybody says when they get acquired.
Right. That's right.
Nothing's going to change.
And then they get fired like 6 months later.
Correct, because that's how long it takes for the changes to come.
My company was just acquired. Let's not talk about this.
But
so, I don't know.
It seems like a really bad idea. Why does IGN need to have a store where they sell games that they review?
Right. I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I'm pretty sure that the editorial is pretty separated from the business parts of these companies.
No. No.
Bullshit.
Sorry, I had something caught in my throat. I don't know much about the digital publishing industry, and I don't know how it works. So you can keep talking.
I think the writers are ethical. They're going to give you their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But the people running the company and selling the ads and ultimately having the say, that's not going to be that separate from – they're looking at the same numbers up
right.
top.
Right.
If, I like the editorial side versus their store side.
All right. I mean, I figure like everybody else is complaining, so I should be positive. But yeah, I don't know anything.
Get positive on it. It just doesn't pass like the
sniff test,
smell test. Yeah, it's just like so Humble was this company that like had this whole charity feel to it.
Yeah,
and that is not the feel I get from IGN.
Right, you get the feel like put ads on it.
It's a, right. You know, it's a weird combination that really doesn't make much sense when you say it out loud.
Right.
Or in your head. You don't have to say it out loud. Right.
I don't see them how this relationship works. But yeah, it's like, oh, hey, did you hear McDonald's just bought Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see. Time will tell what happens with this. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have much of an opinion on it. Wombat.
Hope it goes wonderful for everybody.
Of course, of course.
And I'm going to go get myself an Eggbortion McMuffin sandwich.
Wombat came over to my house and played Drop Mix.
I did go over to your house and play Drop Mix.
Not for that reason, but just that's something that happened.
No, that was the reason.
Oh. What'd you think of Drop Mix?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I wish it was cheaper.
It will be.
I know. I was in Target the next day looking at it going, I can't just do it.
So, no, you should wait.
Yeah.
So, we had people over for Emmeline's birthday, and people were having fun playing Drop Mix.
Yeah, it is fun. I've now owned all the playlists that you
can
buy.
How many playlists are there? I own 4 of them.
Oh, shit, dude. You're almost there, I think.
Okay.
I think there might be
6.
I don't know. I think you might have them all.
I've got the snake one and the rat one.
Yeah, there's
one.
There's 4.
There's 4? Okay, good. I've done it.
You did it. Wow,
yeah, what
I'm
is it? It's
dude.
Like 2 pops and 1 rock and 1 electronica and another one, right?
Yeah, it comes with 4 playlists and then you can buy 4 separately.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So that's where the confusion is.
So the rando cards?
Yes.
Are those different than what I have in my playlist?
Yes, they are. So there's other playlists. Okay, hold on.
Say that.
So hold on. There's other playlists that you get through these Discover packs, but they're not really blind boxes because you can see the first card in the pack, and that basically tells you what the pack is. I sent you the spreadsheet.
I know you sent me the spreadsheet. There doesn't need to be a spreadsheet, does there for this?
Dude, there's so many cards.
I know. It's huge. See, I was thinking that if I bought the playlist, then I didn't have to mess with the little $5 packs. But now,
you don't need
now
to.
I got to do research.
I don't.
No, I just told you.
I know. Now I have to look at your spreadsheet.
Right. It's not. Yeah. There's basically.
Did you get the touch?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I have the Transformers. Thorbon sent that to me.
Okay. Thorbon hooked us up. It's not the touch. It's the theme.
Oh, it's not the touch? I thought there was.
No, it's the Transformers theme song. Is that the only promo card?
Yes, there is. Yes, it is, as far as I know.
Okay.
You have Doctor Who, right?
That
was in one of the. Did you get the Doctor Who theme?
Where was that?
I think it's in one of the playlist packs, no?
Oh, okay. Maybe. That's one of the surprise cards?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's all on the spreadsheet, dude. Don't worry. Somebody put together a really nice spreadsheet with pictures and everything. It's like crazy.
When that gets cheaper. I bought mugs instead.
Yeah, it's a pricey endeavor, but it is a lot of fun. And, you know, if you're like a bedroom DJ, you'll really like drop.
Yeah, and I think the kids would play with me. At least Sabrina would. So.
Yeah. Ty likes it.
I'm sure. Yeah,
she would have played it. Pressing the drop mix button.
She would have played it at your house times. If you didn't kick me out. So
is that what happened?
Yeah, you kicked me out. You said, "Get out of my house, you and your damn family." And I said, "Wow, seems a little harsh."
Right.
But we left. It was okay.
Through the window on the second floor. I didn't even open the window, which is the crazy thing.
We left Jazzy Jeff style.
Let's move on to Microsoft really quick. They announced
outline.
Yeah, they're still on the outline, huh? They announced that they're going to be updating Halo: The Master Chief Collection for Xbox One X.
Is that 3 years too late?
Well, no, for Xbox One X.
Yeah.
So it's going to be upgraded.
Did they ever fix that game completely?
Nah, I don't think so.
They fixed it somewhat.
Some of it.
They're coming back. They're getting another pass at it.
Mm-hmm. So that's something to look forward to.
It's part of their, we're not making new games, we're just going to help our backwards compatible games effort.
At CJ23K writes in and asks, will Xbox One X help PS4 Pro get more support too? Or do most third-party devs not give a fuck about either? Hey, it couldn't hurt. That's for sure. I mean, it makes more sense, certainly, if you have twice as many machines to work, you know, to sell to than not. So it could help. I think
we'll see how the Xbox One X sells.
Yeah, I mean, from people who I follow on Twitter, I know two people who pre-ordered the Xbox One X Scorpio edition and canceled their pre-order like within the last week or so. Shanafan and Christian Spicer both put the kibosh on
it. It still feels like a really hard sell just because there's not that game or games out there like ready to launch with it.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Battlegrounds, they gotta really push that for the One X, even though I know it's not known for its visual fidelity, but certainly it looks really good on my PC.
That game, I still think that game missed the bus.
How so? It's taking too long.
It's taking too long. I think the novelty may not be there by the time the game comes out, especially since Fortnite is there.
That certainly free is tough to compete with, but it's still super duper popular and gaining more and more sales on PC.
I know, and I think that.
But isn't that in like Asia?
It's huge. It's now? Huge in Asian in China. Is it China? Is that the country where it's selling the most right now?
Korea, I think.
Is it Korea? All right. See.
Isn't that where it's developed?
I'm not sure.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
it's developed in Korea. I'm not sure where it's selling.
And there are, you know, there are games of that ilk that tend to stay very popular on PC. You know, your Team Fortress or even a Counter-Strike that don't really translate to the console experience the same way.
It has to be done right.
And I think you're putting too much stock in the success in this game on the Xbox. I don't think it's going to have the splash that you think it will.
I mean, it's really up to Microsoft, I think, how they handle it. I mean, how they market it and how much effort they put into helping the devs get
it. It's early release, so it's not going to come out with, it shouldn't come out with any marketing, really.
Right.
Because it's not a finished game yet, technically. It's not coming out as a finished product.
I'm not sure. Well, I think they're still pushing for this year for the finished product.
Yeah, there's
version one.
Well, for Xbox, right?
Well, for Xbox, it's coming out as early access, but there's no set date yet, and that I thought was what they were aiming for this year.
I'm not sure. I don't know. But if Microsoft
go ahead and release the finished game, then that sort of defeats the purpose of why they said no to releasing on the PlayStation 4, because Sony wouldn't let them do an early access type game.
Well, I'm sure Microsoft showed them the money.
Maybe
they must have. I mean,
who knows? That deal may have been made before that game really hit.
Could be.
I think it had more to do with the fact that Xbox was like, "Yeah, well, you could put an early access game on our console.
Right, we don't care.
We don't care. Do hey, go for it. Have a good time. Here's the keys." So who knows?
Right. We'll see. Hopefully, Microsoft does right by it. Yeah. It's in their best interest for sure.
It is in their best interest, but I'm predicting. I don't think the game's going to flop. I just don't predict it's going to be huge.
All right. Nintendo, they came out with a big firmware update for the Switch that lets you transfer your profiles to other systems. But
it's a permanent Switch. It's not like you could just flip back and forth.
It's still better than nothing.
Yeah, I guess. No, for those people who, I guess, what, if nothing. You get a new Switch? Is that the whole? Yeah.
You have to replace your Switch. Hopefully it's your
no
other
cloud
Switch.
No cloud saves, though.
No, right? Needs to get the cloud saves. Needs to have that happen. But they also added video capture.
Right.
For select games. It's game-oriented, though.
Yeah.
Right. So, baby steps? Sure. These are steps in a positive direction.
Can't wait for everyone to watch me not enjoy that Zelda game.
Right. Well, they can't
these
see
are
you,
positive no things, though. I don't want to be too harsh on these because they could...
Oh, please. They don't deserve it. I don't care.
They don't deserve our positivity?
No, they don't deserve our positivity. Catch up with everybody else.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
You can now pre-purchase games.
Yeah, exactly.
On eShop,
exactly.
Combat.
They don't deserve any kudos. They don't get any pats on the back. They don't get any free passes. Catch up. It's like my son when he's reading, because he's reading books now, and he reads me books and he doesn't understand the words. I tell him, you sit down and you sound it out and you don't get to go to sleep until you read that word, because that's what the words are there for.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm a good dad. I think anyone really believes that, by the way?
No. No. Lord Jezo.
You're a good dad?
That was pretty funny.
All right, move on to the CAG bag so we can...
Hey, I took my kids to see Ninjago.
Right. That's because you wanted to see it.
Are you guys still playing Destiny?
Yes.
Yeah.
I played last night. I tried to do that Nightfall raid.
So did I.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, no, we failed twice. And then I just did the... Then I just wanted to do something easy, so I found the five treasures, you know, Cade's weekly treasures.
Yep.
And then I got Engram, and it was something I already had.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of those, too. I did the Iron Banner stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Where you get, if you turn in 10 packages, you get, the reward.
How do you get a package?
You get the coins. You get a few coins every time you play a match. If you win, you get more, and then you turn them into the dude in the tower, and then he gives you a loot drop. And then if you get 10 of those drops, you get a special drop. But I don't know. It's all shit. I spent a lot of time.
What do you think these guys are doing with all these tokens?
There's an arcade somewhere.
I was just about to say the same thing. Laundry.
Laundry, right.
That armor doesn't clean itself.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, the player versus player was fine and everything. I was just disappointed with the rewards.
I did go up one light point, though, yesterday. So I guess that counts for something, right?
What are you at now?
What am I, 284?
No, I'm like 293, I think.
Good for you.
I think my highest one is like 265, somewhere in that level.
It's weird, unless there's a way, and I don't know if there's a way, but to see how many hours I've put into a game on the PlayStation 4, because I know how to do it on the Xbox, to see exactly what the counter is. I don't know what the counter is for my gameplay on Destiny, and here I am, I'm like annoyed now at the game for not dropping enough good loot often enough and making it feel like a slog. But then there's that part of me that's like, but I think I may have sunk like 80 hours into this game and maybe I should get over it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll still do like the weekly milestones, probably the easier ones. But, yeah.
A couple of public events and find Cage treasures and call it a week.
Pretty much. All right, let's get to the CAG bag so we can go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Amir writes in and asks, when are you going to do another live stream for the show? Isn't it about time that we do another one of those?
Yeah, that's all on you, dude.
Oh, it is on me. Okay. Maybe we'll do it on Twitch this time.
Whatever you want to do. You're the boss.
We can raise money for Puerto Rican storm relief, like I'm doing, which has been fun so far. At Patson86 writes in and asks, what do you guys do for exercise? I know Shipwreck plays basketball with NFL players.
Mm-hmm.
I know Wombat.
Mm-hmm. I walk 2 miles a day. That's got to count for something, right?
Two?
Yeah.
That's not a lot at all.
Well, it's 2 miles a day.
That's like, I don't know. What is that? 5,000 steps?
I guess. I don't know.
Hmm.
No, because the last time I used the Fitbit, I was easily get 10,000 steps a day without having to
try. Oh, that's 5 miles.
What?
That's about 5 miles, I think.
All right.
So that's good. And I play ping pong. I had a two-hour lesson today.
I very much should be doing more exercise.
Ping pong, dude.
I don't know where am I playing ping pong? My problem is time.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
At the King Rocka.
You should just do some exercise when you're marathoning all those Netflix shows you watch.
Yeah. I watch them on the jumping train. Jacks. I watch them on the train.
Even better.
Jumping jacks in the train.
Yeah.
The King Rocker writes in and asks, what was the last game story to really engage and interest each of you right through to the end?
All game stories are bad. Go on.
Did I tell you that I ran into the King Rocker in the restroom at round one?
Nice.
He was like, I was washing my hands. He's like, Chibi?
I've been waiting for you.
Did he offer you a moist towelette and some cologne?
No, he was there to play some video games. I would say, to answer your question, King, that what was that game? What was the game with the robot dinosaurs?
Titanfall
Horizon.
2.
No, Horizon.
Horizon.
Horizon Zero Dawn, I was really into the story, and I was generally interested to see how it turned out. I thought it was pretty well done, especially in like a big open world game like that. It's tough to put a cohesive story together that you can actually sort of remember.
But that's the level of competency in a game story. It's just something cohesive. That's really it.
But I was interested to see also how it turned out.
Game stories are fine. Yeah. You watch so much terrible TV that it's no different.
I watch a lot of terrible TV, and they still have better stories than the best game story.
No.
Yes. Yes. No. The best game
story. Uncharted 4 was good.
The best
Uncharted
game
4 totally
story.
Had me.
The best game story, Uncharted 4's game story, is still at the same level as Arrow.
No. Oh,
the writing's so much better.
Yeah.
Nope.
The writing's better. The acting's better.
I stand by it. Arrow.
I was invested
and
emotionally.
4, that is a level plateau.
The only thing that those have in common is that Green Arrow kills as many people as Drake does.
I was into the story of Uncharted 4, and I had an emotional connection to it. And I, even like, especially the prologue, I was just like, you know, it's like the hair on my arms was standing up. It was really well done.
Yeah, I still need to finish Horizon. I liked that a lot. I just, there was so many dots on the map that I need to come back to it. But I think Titanfall 2 had a really good story. I think Call of Duty Infinite Warfare had a good story.
Yep, absolutely.
But I think it's the game itself that carries the story.
It's both. You need them both working together, and that's tough. It's tough to put that together, to have both of those things sort of firing at a high level, especially like the longer games. It's just, you know, it's how do you play a game for 30 hours and, you know, remember the story?
Because they don't need a story if the gameplay is there.
No, that's crazy.
I don't even know what the story of Shadow War is. You know
what
else?
It's not good.
I don't care.
But that story's not good. That's why.
Right.
Lord of the Rings, you're saying Tolkien's no good?
That's not
he
Lord of
write
the
it.
Rings.
I know, I'm teasing.
No, those were good games that Shipwreck mentioned that had good stories. Okay. That's it. I think we're good.
All right.
I think we're done. Very good, everybody. Thank you for listening. I will remind you to follow my Twitch channel. It's a cheap ass gamer where I'm giving 200% of my Twitch revenue for the year to Puerto Rico Storm Relief. Charity has not been decided yet, but I'll find a good one. Come join me for Battleground hijinks. Friday morning, I'm streaming with Spicer, which is always fun. Follow us on Twitter at GPD, at New Wombat, at Shipwreck, of course, at Video Game Deals. And review us on iTunes. Sure, why not? We're over 200 reviews. All right, that's it. We'll see you next week.
Present.
Paul, look!
What is it?
It's the Insecticon, an evil new menace from the world of the Transformers.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. The Transformers.
Sold separately from Hasbro.